स्वकीयं स्तनकालकूतं चिगांसयापाययाद् आप्यसाध्वी लोभे गतिं दात्र्युचितं ततोऽन्याम् कं वा दयालुं शरणं व्रजेम
Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he
who granted the position
of mother to a she-demon Putana, although she was unfaithful
and she prepared
deadly poison to be sucked from her breast.
Purport by His Divine Grace.
A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Here is an example of the extreme mercy of the Lord,
even to His enemy. It is said that a noble man accepts the good qualities of a person
of doubtful character, just as one accepts nectar
from a stock of poison. In his babyhood,
he was administered deadly poison by Putana, a she-demon who tried to kill the wonderful baby. And because she was a demon, it was impossible for her to know that the Supreme Lord, even though playing the part of a baby, was no less than the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. His value as a Supreme Lord did not diminish upon his becoming a baby to please his devotee, Yashoda. The Lord may assume the form of a baby or a shape other than that of a human being, but it does not make the slightest difference. He is always the same Supreme. A living creature, however powerful he may become by dint of severe penance, can never become equal to the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna accepted the motherhood of Putana because she pretended to be an affectionate mother, allowing Krishna to suck her breast. The Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards him the highest reward. That is the standard of His character. Therefore, who but the Lord can give the ultimate shelter? The intense spiritual ecstasy
of separation from the all-merciful Personality of Godhead, Krishna.
Uddhava is herein taking shelter. Uddhava is here glorifying the extraordinary merciful quality of Krishna. For those who are feeling themselves most fallen and bereft of any good qualities, this particular prayer of Uddhava brings great hope that even in our most lamentable condition, Krishna has the power to save us. A great devotee of the Lord has natural humility. In that humility, the devotee feels himself sinful and fallen, just as in the prayers of Thakur Bhakti Vinod or Narottam Das Thakur, they are praying with such genuine humility, considering themselves to be most envious, most materially attached, most full of lust and pride. Of course, the cleaner your heart is, the more any little trace of material propensity becomes very prominent. For a person whose heart is filthy with the egoistic desires of material existence, sometimes that person thinks he's very advanced, because all those material desires are just so conglomerated and mixed like a big ocean, and you can hardly see one of them at a time. Our lust, our anger, our pride, our greed, they're constantly at war with each other, and sometimes they're joining up together. But when our heart becomes very, very pure, then even the slightest desire for material existence becomes so evident that we think, oh, how fallen am I. And of course, when the heart becomes completely pure, then just by the realization of the glory and greatness of Krishna, we naturally feel ourselves most fallen. Even if you have no material attachment, just the thought that a material attachment exists, you feel yourself most fallen. So real humility is something extraordinary. And for a devotee, on any of these stages, we realize that it is only by causeless mercy that I can be saved. We have no power to overcome the negative side of our consciousness. It is so powerful and so well nourished from so many previous lives of serving. Therefore, the path of bhakti means to exclusively appeal for the merciful nature of the Lord, knowing that that is the only way and means by which we can be saved. And unless we understand and appreciate the extent of Krishna's mercy, we will not have that confidence that Krishna will save us. Uddhava is here in his true Vaishnava humility, remembering the extent of Krishna's mercy. Putana was a great Kesari demon, a Rakshashi of the cruelest nature, perhaps the cruelest of all the Rakshasas, because her specialty was in killing and eating baby children who are helpless, who cannot even defend themselves, who cannot even lift a finger to fight against. And not only would she do it, but she would disguise herself in various ways so no one could even detect who she was or what she was to do.
And she came in a whole family of very demoniac persons.
Sometimes in India, when it's time for marriage, people very carefully examine who are the family members. What is the father like? What is the mother like? What is the brothers like? What are they doing?
Well, Putana, she had two brothers that we know of. One was Bakasura and the other was Aghasura.
So she was coming from a line of famous demons.
And Prabhupada explained she was so powerful that she could travel through outer space. And she could change her form in any way she so desired. Prabhupada explains in India still there are women who practice this witchcraft,
where they can just pick up a stick and fly on it by their mystic powers.
So Putana, she would go all over
and find little babies. And she used various divisive ways of killing them.
And then she would eat their flesh and drink their blood.
And she performed these envious, hideous activities again and again and again. And she was personally sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna. She went into Brajbhumi and she disguised herself in such a way that she looked like a beautiful heavenly woman. And because of her charms, everyone was attracted. She had beautiful long hair, very shapely body, very beautiful face. Fragrance that was most appealing to the senses. And she was looking as if she was such a caring, loving mother. She came right into the house of Nanda Maharaj. And everyone was looking upon her with great reverence. And she saw little baby Krishna laying down. He was just an infant, hardly days old. And Krishna looked at her, and she looked at Krishna. And Krishna closed his eyes. Prabhupada says, knowing that the first demon in this incarnation would be a woman. And not only a woman, but someone coming in the role of the mother. And when Putana saw Krishna, within her heart of hearts she understood that this is the Supreme Lord. No one could kill him. He is the destroyer of all existence. But because of her demoniac mind, she could not understand this properly. Shukadeva Goswami describes that Putana, although such a vicious, envious demon, she was dressed in such a beautiful disguise. She was like a deadly sharpened sword in a very decorated case. And Mother Rohini and Yashoda, they were thinking that she has come to bless our baby. She's so beautiful. Maybe she's some sort of heavenly denizen who has come just to give our child auspiciousness. So they did not prevent her from picking up little baby Krishna and placing him on her lap, just as one puts a deadly serpent on their lap, thinking that it is a harmless rope. She did not know
who she was about to try to harm. And upon her breast, she put a very deadly poison called Kalakutam. This Kalakutam is a poison that acts very swiftly. It kills its victim immediately, without question. And she pushed that poisoned breast into the mouth of baby Krishna. And Krishna became angry. He wasn't angry that she was trying to kill him. He was angry that she killed so many other children, even in Brajbhumi. Therefore, with his little hands, he began to squeeze her breast. And this was becoming very painful for Putana. Unbearable pain. And he just squeezed and squeezed his little tiny infant hands. And then he began to suck. And as he was squeezing and sucking, the pain that this mighty asura was feeling was beyond her control to tolerate. So she began to scream, "Leave me, leave me." And she was trying to take Krishna away, but he continued to squeeze her and suck from her. And it is explained that she was in so much pain, she began to scream and howl so loud it was intolerable for anyone to hear. And then she ran out of the house, and she ran out of the village, and she went into the pasture grounds. And there she expanded herself into her original form, which was 12 miles in size. And Krishna continued to squeeze and to suck. And gradually he sucked all of her poison out. And then he sucked her milk as well. And as he continued to suck, her very life force came out of her body into the mouth of Krishna. And as she was, can you imagine how loud a scream of a 12-mile-long Rakshasi must have been? It was bringing tremendous terror into the hearts of all the Brijvasis. And she fell to the ground. And as she fell, within a 12-mile radius, so many trees just fell to the ground. She was dead. The residents of Vrindavan came running out, and they saw little Krishna. He was just playing on the top of her breast. And Yashoda Mai and the other gopis, they ran to running on Putana's body. Somehow they reached, it was a long distance just to get to the breast. And finally they climbed up, and then they brought little Krishna down. And they were thinking, how is it that Krishna has been saved? Such inauspicious condition. So they decided that they should immediately invoke auspiciousness upon Krishna. So they took the switch or the tail of a cow, and they began to fan Krishna and touch Krishna's body with the tail of cow. And then they bathed Krishna with cow dung and cow urine. And then they put tilak on the 12 places of the body with cow dung. And with each tilak, they chanted a particular name of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. In this way, they were showing their great love for the child Gopal in their natural parental affection. The significance is very much appreciated by Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas of what the gopis had done. How important cow protection is. Actually, if human society protects cows, human society is protected. This was the mentality of the Brijbasis. Their whole life was to protect the cows, but they also had complete faith that the blessings of the cows would protect them and protect Krishna. Because the cows are so dear to Krishna. They are the very emblem of religiosity. And if we please the cows, we please Krishna. We please the Supreme Lord. And when we have that blessing of the Lord, our whole life becomes auspicious. And the names of God are also full of all of the powers of God. The gopis understood this. They were chanting the name of the Lord on all the 12 important parts of the body for Krishna's protection. And Srila Prabhupada told us how important it is to put the tilak on the 12 parts of our body every single day. In fact, as much as possible, these markings should always be kept in our body. For various social purposes, we may not use cow dung whenever we put on our tilak, but we use gopi chandan, which is considered non-different than it is the dust from Krishna's feet and from the gopis' feet. If you remember when we had our yatra to Dwarka, we went to Gopi Talab, which is the place that Krishna brought gopis when he was living in Mathura. He knew gopis were very much in separation from him ever since that fateful moment in the early morning when Akrura took them away from Vrindavan on his chariot. And Krishna, seeing Jarasandha, Kalyavana, and so many demons attacking Mathura, and knowing that it's so close to Vrindavan, he decided it's better if I move the Yadu dynasty to another place. So when the Yadus were sleeping, he transferred everyone to Dwarka, which is a beautiful, beautiful kingdom that he constructed by his own mystic powers. He also engaged Vishwakarma, the architect of the Devatas. And this city was on an island in the ocean. But Krishna understood that when gopis hear that everyone's gone from Mathura, they will not know what to think or what to say. How will they live? So therefore Krishna constructed a beautiful residence just in the outskirts of Dwarka. And while the gopis were sleeping, he transferred them from Braja to Dwarka. And as it was told to us, when they woke up in the night, it was very dark. They did not know where they were. Can you imagine if all of a sudden you wake up in the middle of the night and you're with all your friends and you're somewhere you never saw before? So they were looking for door. They were calling out Dwarkaha. And thus the name Dwarka. And Krishna appeared before them. And he made a beautiful lake for them to have sports in the water. Pastimes they performed in this water. And as they were playing in this beautiful pond, the dust of the feet of Srimati Radharani and all of the gopis mixed with the dust of the feet of Krishna and settled to the bottom of this lake, and that is what we use for Gopi Chandan. We are actually putting the dust of the feet of gopis and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath on our body. And while doing, we always attentively chant the holy name. And through the invocation of the Lord in his name, we protect ourselves on the 12 vital parts of our body. Not only protect, but purify. And therefore this applying of tilak every day is a very, very traditional scientific process by which devotees become protected and purified by the dust of the devotees' feet and by the auspicious, all-powerful invocation of the holy name. And this applying of tilak was even done by Yashoda and Rohini to Krishna. Anyways, they were offering many prayers in great amazement. And Nanda Maharaj and some of the cowherd men, they had gone to Mathura and they met Vasudev. And Vasudev told Nanda Maharaj that you should go back to Vrindavan soon because there may be some dangers there to your child Krishna. And as they were coming into Braja, they were passing through the pasture grounds and they saw this massive 12-mile-long Rakshashi laying there, dead. And then they saw the gopis performing these purificatory acts for the protection of Krishna. And when they heard what had happened, Nanda Maharaj was amazed that Vasudev must be a great saintly person. How he knew that Krishna would be in danger. Sukadeva Goswami explains the most wonderful part of this pastime. That Putana was so cruel, she was so envious, so violent. She came with only one intention, to murder Krishna. But somehow or other, she came in the role of a mother. And she accepted the position of a mother by giving the milk from her breast to Krishna. And therefore, Krishna saw the good in her. He purified her of all her demoniac tendencies. And she suffered during that purification through his squeezing and sucking. She was in a torturous condition of pain. And in that process, Everything was purified. And what was left? Only the essential reality that she came to serve Krishna as her mother. All of her demoniac tendencies and motivations were washed away by Krishna's mercy. All that was left was her motherly affection. And therefore, Krishna, upon her death, he promoted her to the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan to be the assistant nurse of Mother Yashoda. Where she could eternally love Krishna as a mother. How glorious is Krishna! How he could see the good in someone so bad and deliver her. This is the hope that every devotee takes shelter of. Great devotees like Uddhava, they are not thinking, I am a very advanced soul, I am a Paramhamsa. They are thinking that this is my hope. That if Krishna can deliver Putana, if he could see some good in her, then there is also hope for me. Otherwise, there's no hope. It is described in various Puranas, different stories of different past lives of Putana in different days of Brahma. One is explained that in her past life, her name was Ratnamala, and she was the daughter of Bali Maharaj. And she was present when Bali Maharaj was performing his big, big yajna. And then the son of Aditi and Kashyapa, Vamanadev, who was the avatar of Vishnu, appeared to beg alms from Bali. And when Ratnamala saw the beautiful, golden form of this little child, Vamana, she became overwhelmed with motherly affection. And she wanted to feed the milk of her breast to this little child. But then Vamanadev, after getting the promise of Bali for 3 steps of land, he expanded himself to become Trivikram. And he covered the whole universe with 2 of his lotus footsteps. And then he took everything away from Bali. So at that time, Ratnamala was not so favorable because she just took everything away. So somehow or other, these mixed feelings. So Krishna wanted to fulfill her desire. And in her next life, she was given the birth of Putana, where she could be Krishna's mother and be delivered of all of her negativity and given the ultimate liberation of the spiritual world. This beautiful verse of Uddhava is very prominent in the Leela of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We know the story of how one day in the house of Srivas Pandit, Lord Chaitanya, after dancing in ecstasy during kirtan, he sat down and he became immersed in an extraordinary trance, and he began weeping and crying and calling out, Pundarik, my father, Pundarik, my father. And the devotees were thinking, who is this Pundarik? And Lord Chaitanya began to call out, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, my father,
They were thinking, perhaps Pundarika is Krishna, but Vidyanidhi, he must be a great devotee. So they asked Lord Chaitanya, who is this Pundarik Vidyanidhi? Where is he from? What does he do? Please tell us. We understand he must be so dear to you. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was so happy. He said, your life is completely auspicious and you are so fortunate because you are eager to hear about a devotee like Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Anyone who hears about him will become purified and achieve love for Krishna. And he began to explain Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He is the embodiment of pure devotional service. I am simply longing for his association. Just by remembering him, one becomes purified. He said he appears to be like a materialist. And most people cannot recognize what kind of devotion he has. He will not go to the Ganges during the day because he has so much love for Mother Ganga that when he sees people washing their mouth out and spitting in her and washing their hair in her, he cannot tolerate it. And he himself will not go in the Ganges because he will not touch her with his feet out of respect. Therefore, at night, every night when there's no one around, he will just, with great devotion, gaze at the beauty of Mother Ganga and worship her. And he will drink her waters before doing his deity worship, before doing any activity. He will drink the water of the Ganges and worship her. This Pundarik Vidyanidhi is from the village of Chatigram. And he also has a house in Navadvip. I am appealing to all of you, my devotees, somehow with your devotion, pull him here to Navadvip so we can all see him. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began again to go into trance, calling out, Pundarik, my father, please come, please come. And through his devotion, the heart of Pundarik Vidyanidhi was attracted to come to Navadvip. And he came with many servants, and he brought much wealth. But nobody knew that he came. But Mukunda Dat was also from Chatigram, so he knew Pundarik Vidyanidhi very well. So he went to Gadadhar Pandit and he said, I know that in your heart you are always longing to meet great devotees. A great devotee has come. And because I am your servant, I want to please you by bringing you to the very great saintly person. So Gadadhar Pandit very happily began to chant the holy names of Krishna. And he went to the home of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And when they entered, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was so happy. He received them with so much gracious love and hospitality. He gave them a sitting place. And he asked Mukunda, who is this that you have brought, whose effulgence is so full of light and devotion? And Mukunda said, this is Gadadhar Pandit. He has been a great devotee of Krishna from his very, very earliest childhood. He's completely detached from anything of this world. And he is the glorious son of Madhava Mishra. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi was very happy to receive him. and then he sat down. Gadadhar Pandit was very surprised to see how he sat down. There was a beautiful, luxurious, comfortable red throne that he sat on. And it had all sorts of highly polished brass fixtures. There were soft cushions on all four sides. There was brass spittoons and brass vessels for water and a plate of holding betel nuts. And there was beautiful decorated canopies hanging over his head. And he had servants on either side of him, fanning him with peacock tail fans. And he had very, very costly silken clothing and very extravagant jewelry. And he also had his beautiful hair, long wavy hair. It was anointed with very, very expensive, sweet-smelling oils. He was such a beautiful person. He looked like Kamadev himself. And Gadadhar Pandit was thinking that I had faith in the words of Mukunda that this was a saintly person. But now all of my faith is gone. Why is he so much having so much material opulences and comforts if he's a great devotee of the Lord? Because Gadadhar was so simple and renounced, he could not relate to this. This doubt took residence within his heart. Mukunda, being a dear friend, understood the heart of his associate. So he wanted to show Gadadhar Pandit what is the glory of Pundarik Vidyanidhi's devotion. And he began to recite beautiful prayers of how Krishna, as a little baby child, sucked the breast of Putana and killed her. But in doing so, he promoted Putana to the position of his own mother simply because she had approached him as a mother. And then he recited this particular verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Oho bakiyam stanapakalakutam jigam sayapaya yadapya sadvi lebe gatim datyuchitam tatonyam kamva dayalum saranam brajema. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to Putana, a she-demon, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast? When Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard this verse, he went into an ecstasy of love of God. All of a sudden, in meditation on the mercy of Krishna and considering his own fallen condition, he fell down from his beautiful seat onto the floor, and his legs began to kick, and his arms began to move in all directions. And soon he kicked down his chair, and the brass vessels and the spittoons, they were all flying in all the directions. And all the furniture was being destroyed, flying in all directions. And with his hands, he started ripping to pieces his clothes, and his hair was frailed out in so many wonderful ways. And he was rolling on the ground, and there was just profuse rivers of tears flowing from his eyes. His body became pale and began to uncontrollably shiver and tremble.
His hair stood on end. 10 men came to try to hold him down, but it was impossible. And then he began to cry out, say it again, say it again. And Mukunda Dutt continued to chant this beautiful sloka from Srimad Bhagavatam about Krishna's merciful nature toward Putana. And upon hearing it, he started calling out, why, Krishna? Why my heart is so hard like wooden stone? What he meant, that even Putana was delivered by you, but still I am not delivered. You have descended into this world out of your causeless mercy, but you have cheated only me. Why? Why my heart is like wood? Why like stone? Why you have cheated me? In this way, in the ecstasy of humility, he was in such a trance, Gadadhar Pandit was struck with wonder. And then he fell unconscious. And there was not a single trace of life in him for 6 continuous hours. And during that time, Gadadhar Pandit began to weep and cry to see what kind of love this devotee had. And he said to Mukunda Dutt that you have saved me. You are truly my friend. Because I was making aparad. I was thinking he was an ordinary materialistic person attached to material opulence. But you have saved me by showing me what a great devotee he is. On the path of bhakti, one must be initiated by a proper spiritual master. And although I am walking the path of devotional service, I have not yet taken mantra initiation. Mukunda Dutt was very happy. He was jubilant to see Gadadhar Pandit's love. And when Pundarik Vidyanidhi came back to external consciousness, he looked quite embarrassed to see what he had done to his clothes and to the room. But then he very calmly greeted Gadadhar and Mukunda. And Mukunda explained, this wonderful devotee son of Madhava Mishra, who has been renounced from his very birth, he desires to take initiation from you. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was very happy. He said, only after many, many, many births can one get a disciple so qualified as Gadadhar Pandit. On the day of Sukla Dwadasi, I will give you the mantra. And Gadadhar Pandit became very happy and offered his obeisances to his Guru Maharaj. And Mukunda Dutt began to extol the glories of both of them. He said, here we have the perfect guru and the perfect disciple. That night, Pundarik Vidyanidhi went all alone to have the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. And when he saw Lord Chaitanya, he couldn't even offer his obeisances. He just began to cry out the names of Krishna and fell to the ground. And when Lord Chaitanya saw him, he became so happy. They both began to cry and embrace each other. And as they were embracing, they were both completely motionless for 3 hours. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reunited with his eternal father, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who is none other than Vrishabhanu, the father of Srimati Radharani, in the eternal Leela of Krishna in the spiritual world. It is described that anyone who hears of the merciful killing of Putana by Krishna will achieve liberation from all one's sins and complete attachment to the service of Krishna. And anyone who hears the wonderful narration of Pundarik Vidyanidhi's ecstasy when he remembered the mercy of Krishna will achieve love for Krishna, pure devotional service. Uddhava is remembering this beautiful pastime, and in his remembrance, perhaps one of the most important lessons for all of us is to be learned. We can never become God, but we can be, but our goal of life is to become godly. Krishna is the supreme Vibhu, and we are his infinitesimal parts and parcels, Anu. We are qualitatively one with Krishna. Rupa Goswami explains, what is the nature of a pure soul? In the Upadeshamrita, he said, an advanced devotee is one who has no tendency to see faults in others. The tendency to see faults in others is simply the exhibition of our own envy, that's all. To the degree we're envious, we'll see faults in others. And to the degree we speak the faults of others, we are only revealing our demoniac, envious nature to the world. And any sincere devotee will detect that. To a materialistic, envious person, when they hear the faults of another chanted, we think the fault finder is very intelligent. But for a devotee, when he hears someone finding faults in others, he understands that person is condemning him or herself. A devotee won't see the fault that you're talking about. The devotee will only see the fault in the person finding fault. Because a saintly person has no tendency to find faults in others. Why? Because a saintly person develops godly qualities. And what is Krishna's godly qualities? Here is Putana, a Rakshasi, who has murdered untold numbers of innocent baby children and chewed on their flesh and swallowed it and sucked their blood. Hare Krishna. And she came to kill Krishna as a servant of Kamsa. What good quality could we see in someone like this? But somehow or other, she came in the role of a mother. Krishna saw that only. Krishna wanted to reward her for that. He saw a spark of good in her, and he illuminated that spark of good by his own mercy and utilized it to send her back to the spiritual world. We could say Putana was a vast ocean of faults, but she had one little tiny drop of good. And the good wasn't even intentional. It was unintentional. Even her good was for an evil motive. But Krishna saw that. That's all. He wasn't concerned with anything else. I'll get rid of everything else and give her that. That is God. And if it wasn't for that quality in God, none of us would have any hope of ever going back to the spiritual world. Because everyone in this material world is full of faults. We are all Putanas in our own miniature way.
We may not be 12 miles, we may be 5 feet. We may not be drinking the blood of innocent children, but we're doing so many sinful activities. So many envious ways are lurking within our hearts. Everyone in this world is like that. If we weren't like that, we would not be in this material world. If we weren't sinful and envious, we would have no business in this material world. So what hope is there for us? It is only this merciful nature of Krishna. And that merciful nature comes through his devotees. We have spoken so many times about the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas. They would just, any little tiny glimpse of good in another, they would just magnify it and utilize it to engage them in devotional service. When Srila Prabhupada went to the Lower East Side of New York City, there were no saintly people living there. Everyone there was addicted, not just experimenting, but addicted practically to illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating, gambling, and so many other nefarious ways. Brought up eating meat, watching television, glorifying people who are powerful in sex life. No concern or consideration of morality in the true sense. But if one such person just appreciated prasad, Srila Prabhupada didn't care anything else. This person likes prasad. If you read his diary, which has been printed by Bhaktivedanta Archives, you'll find what kind of a person is Srila Prabhupada. How he sees the good in everyone, and the hope and the possibility. Srila Prabhupada, he explains, he was having small programs even before 26 Second Avenue. When he was living in the Bowery, he would be invited to someone's small apartment and four or five people would come. And he was celebrating. He was writing in his diary, four or five people came and they seemed to like prasad. Now I understand Lord Chaitanya's movement has great hope in the Western world. Now if any of our brahmacharis went to a program and four or five people would come, we would think, oh, wow, only four or five people came, what is this? We were expecting so many hundreds. If during the Bhagavad Gita class on Wednesday night, if four people came, Gauranga would be very disappointed, perhaps. But Prabhupada, the Param Guru Acharya, Paramhamsa, when four or five people came, he was completely ecstatic and enlivened. And he was enlivened not because they were participating in kirtan or listening to the philosophy, but because they seemed to like prasad. And then another program, perhaps eight people came. And they liked prasad. And then he had little kirtan. And he said they enjoyed the kirtan. He said, now I know that Haridas Thakur's prediction will be fulfilled. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name will be spread through every town and village of the world. Because they liked the kirtan. They were meat eaters, they were sex mongers, they were gamblers, they were probably intoxicated, but they liked kirtan. Prabhupada saw the good in them. He would never compromise telling them to give up all this nonsense, but still he saw the good in them. And it was only because he saw that little spark of good that he could fan it and gradually nourish it. And make people actual devotees and Vaishnavas. If not for that merciful nature, none of us would be here today. Where would we be? We would be simply wasting our human existence, either through fruitive activities or killing our souls seeking salvation. That's all. Srila Prabhupada was such a devotee. And we find the origin of that mercy in this wonderful pastime of Krishna. And when Prabhupada would find faults with people, sometimes he would say they were demons, sometimes he would call them rascals, sometimes he would call them nonsense, sometimes he would threaten to kick their face with his boots. He never even wore boots, but still he would say like that. But that was out of mercy, out of love. Even in Chaitanya Bhagavat, we find Vrindavan Das Thakur. He said, anyone who does not recognize the glorious activities of Nityananda Prabhu and worship him, he said, I kick them in the head with my foot. So people may think, he's a gentle, humble Vaishnav. Why he wants to kick everyone's head with his foot? Actually, it was out of mercy. He would not kick them with his foot. But he was saying that in such a way, knowing Nityananda's causeless mercy, that if this person is so fallen that his devotees is about to kick him in the head with a foot, then Nityananda will pay attention to that person and give his mercy to him. He was actually, by these inconceivable words, he was only praying to Nityananda to be merciful to them and to deliver them. That's all. So a devotee is always the well-wisher of everyone. So what to speak amongst other Vaishnavas? Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchid yatati siddhaye. Out of thousands of people, one even endeavors for perfection. What to speak of becomes a devotee, begins to chant the holy names, accepts Krishna as God, comes and does some service, and is struggling to somehow combat the six senses, which include the mind. Devotees should honor and respect such a person, even though they may have so many faults. A neophyte devotee still has many faults, no doubt. But Prabhupada said, speaking about the faults is like criticizing the full moon for having marks on it. Volumes of light are emanating from the moon, and all we can see and talk about is the little marks. That is the sign of our own disease. So we should understand that the path of perfection is to tolerate the tendency to find faults in others. To somehow or other fight against that envious nature in our heart. And as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, with the same mouth that is so anxious to find faults in others, we should glorify the Vaishnavas. That will draw the mercy of Krishna into our life. That will draw the mercy of Guru and the Acharyas to protect us always. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he could not tolerate when devotees would find fault with each other. When there was friction amongst devotees, he understood this is so deadly. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said, Maya cannot disturb the progress of this movement from forces without. Only from within. When there is fault-finding and fighting within, then our movement disintegrates. Look at in the Soviet Union, former. We were just in Russia. The Russian government had all kinds of nuclear missiles and bombs. The most thorough and complete Secret Service, the KGB. Every family, practically, in the whole nation had a KGB spy. And the KGB and the Russian government consider the Hare Krishna movement to be one of their three greatest threats to their security. Because it was a religion with such a deep philosophy that it could convince people that communism was miserable and hopeless. So they put so much energy and so much money and so much attention and so many of their best men, and the movement continued to spread. They cannot stop it. No power on earth can stop the spreading of Krishna consciousness. But when devotees fight and find fault, then everything stops. When the devotees are impure in their life, then the power of God ceases to empower them. That is the greatest danger. So when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would see two devotees finding fault with each other, he would sit with both of them. And he would order one. And when he would order, he was Singha Guru. He was like a lion. He would say, "You glorify that devotee." And the devotee would be sitting next to his god brother, and he would somehow or other have to search through the deepest recesses of his imagination to find something good about that person. Not only he had to sit there for a long period of time just extolling the glories of that devotee. He wasn't allowed to make it up. He had to actually find true good qualities in that person. And by the time he was done just researching the good qualities of that person, he would realize, actually, he's a great soul. And then he'd tell the other devotee, "Now you glorify him." And he'd glorify. Again, another good quality. Speak another good quality, another. And he would speak so many good qualities. Then they realized two things. One is our fault-finding is so severely painful and displeasing to our spiritual master and Krishna. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati kutopi. If you displease Guru, you cannot please Krishna. It doesn't matter what you do. And if you're finding faults with Vaishnavas, you're displeasing Guru, you're displeasing Krishna, you're not making spiritual advancement. That's all. And then the insidious, demoniac nature of our false ego is we're probably all sitting here right now thinking, "Why are people finding faults in me? That means they're envious of me. That means they're not real Vaishnavas. That means you are a bogus rascal." That's all. Amani namani naina kirtaniya sadahari. If someone finds fault with you, you should bow your head at them and say, "Thank you, you are my best friend." But if you find fault in someone else, you should understand, "It is ruining, destroying my spiritual life." That is the way a devotee thinks. not why are everyone falling. People are finding faults in me, therefore they are all ruining their spiritual lives. Not like that. You're ruining your spiritual life by thinking that way. This is the golden rule. Amanina manadena. Offer all respects to others and expect none in return. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, if someone comes to blame me and blaspheme me, I consider that person my best friend. But we should never, ever, ever find faults with others. Unless in a medicinal way we are doing it to help that person. But we should check and re-examine our motivations to make sure we're actually doing it in the mood of a servant. So two principles are there to understand. One, finding fault with another devotee is terribly displeasing to our spiritual master and Krishna. And two is, if you start to speak about the good qualities of another devotee, as an austerity, as a tapasya, however severe and difficult it may be, then gradually you actually understand that this devotee isn't so bad after all. That the faults that that devotee even may have are insignificant in compared to the goodness within him or her. That is Vaishnava culture. If Krishna didn't see the good in Putana, there would have been no hope for her. If Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas and who are Krishna's representatives, if Krishna through them were not seeing some good in us, what would be the hope for us? And as a preaching movement, we are meant to give that same hope to others. Raghunath Bhat Goswami, if he would hear anyone criticizing a Vaishnava, he would leave that place. He would not listen to one word. He would say, the fact that this person is a devotee, the fact that this person is chanting Hare Krishna, is all I have to know. Nothing else that makes that person worshipable. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is begging for the dust of the lotus feet of the brand new devotee who is just coming to the path of bhakti. So if we were in a leadership position out of compassion and concern, we may find faults in a person, but not in a mood to destroy them, but in a mood to uplift them. Like a doctor may point out certain diseases so that they can be treated. That is service. That is not fault finding. Even to materialistic people, to simply whimsically call people karmis and demons and everything is offensive. It is only if we are trying to help them and help others understand how to deal with the proper disease, then only can we say these things. And if we do not have that spirit of a compassionate servant trying to uplift and help, then anyone we speak against, especially a Vaishnava, it will be the ruination of our life. A servant wants to bring everyone up. An envious person wants to push people down. Unless we have a constructive purpose to fulfill, we should simply glorify every devotee. That's all. and that will be purifying to our own heart, and it will give encouragement and hope and life to the whole congregation of Vaishnavas. Uddhava is ecstatically glorifying Krishna for having the supreme, complete, and perfect qualification in this regard. How merciful is Krishna! Vansha kalpatarubhyas cha kripa sindhubhyeva cha patithanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Because the Vaishnavas are empowered to whatever degree they are surrendered with this same merciful nature of Krishna. Therefore, they are our real friends, and they are our only hope. So let us pray for that mercy. Let that be our hope. In giving, we receive. To the degree you try to give Krishna's mercy to others, to that degree Krishna will give more of his mercy to you. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he, who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast? Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Gaur Bhakta Brinda ki. Thank you very much.